everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Gavel podcast. And today we are back with another interesting guest and another interesting topic. As you know, many people face difficulties regarding the studying and also the differences people also had to face during the pandemic, coronavirus, and all those difficulties people had to face. And that definitely created an issue for many people all over around the world, and created a difference in between the opportunities. Some people had many opportunities and some people did not. But we'll discuss all that and more today with our interesting guest. Hello, Jayant. How you doing?
Hello, Nasser, and hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on this podcast, and thank you for inviting me on this podcast with the great topic today. So introducing myself, my name is Jayant Dilawat, and I'm currently a high school student from India following CBSE curriculum. I aspire to become a neurosurgeon one day. Beyond academics, I am deeply passionate about youth leadership, mental health awareness, and equitable education access to all students, especially after witnessing how the pandemic widened the gap for many students globally.
And that's exactly what the topic we're going to be discussing today. And of course, regarding you, like before we dive in into the topic, let's speak a little bit about your personal background.
Okay, so talking about my personal background, I don't come from low income background, but I had the privilege of access to stable internet, access to stable safe home environment, good teachers, and the support system that helped me even during the pandemic, even during the toughest times of the pandemic. But with that privilege, I think I got a deeper responsibility. Mm-hmm. I saw students around me, like my peers, like my classmates, and even some students online, which was facing power outages, limited devices at home, or completely failing out, or you can say falling out or dropping out of school education system because of financial or emotional stress that they had. That's what made me realize education inequality isn't just a statistics. It's someone's reality in today's life.
So you did not get to live that reality, but you witnessed it. You witnessed that in your own community, and you had to see your friends drop out of school, as you said. How did that make you feel, John?
It made me feel, firstly, I felt kind of weird that why are they dropping out of school? Then I got to know what was the main reason behind their dropout of school. It was mainly financial background, because in COVID-19, almost many people lost their jobs. Many people lost their only family income that they had in before COVID, which made living and food more necessity than education, I would say, to those students. And that was the main problem why pandemic caused a huge loss towards student education and also towards education system globally.
I'm not personally familiar with what was going on at the time where you lived, but you mentioned something very interesting. You said living was more necessary than education. You think some people dropped out of school to be able to like secure a living for their family? Also, some people, me and yours age, like, was that a thing?
I had seen in a pandemic some people drop out of school to do labor, or you can say child labor at that time, just to run their family, because their father lost their job and their mother were housewives, and their father was eagerly looking for jobs at that time. And this was very harsh for me to see and me to witness at that time, which was really not what I wanted to witness. I was thinking that everyone had their online classes, everyone was going through that work from home thing, but I saw many people struggling with their necessity, like their food, like their shelter. So it was very disturbing for me to see.
Yeah, I know how it feels. I cannot really say that I relate to that, but definitely some of my friends were not able to attend their classes. And I definitely know the reason. It was mostly had to do with connection and also not being able to afford a laptop or like a device to do this. And also maybe some people were just, maybe they had the, maybe they had the means to connect to the people during the pandemic, but they did not find it conventional enough, or they thought maybe that education online was not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that, I mean, as you said, that made me feel like we had to do something about it. Now, the reason I brought up this topic today is because I know you, Jayant, have written a research paper regarding this topic. Could you tell us more about it?
So talking about my research paper, which was focused on post-pandemic education inequality, especially the gap between Eastern and Western education system. So I analyzed how countries with stronger digital infrastructure, emergency education policies adapted more quickly, while others faced longer disruptions, deeper or more dropouts from school, as I told, and even mental health was kind of deteriorating of student during this pandemic year because they were dropping out of school, they were forcibly child labored or something like that. And that's why I focused on the systematic reason behind the gaps and looked into how youth-led efforts can become a part of the solution.
All right, we're gonna leave the topic of poverty and stuff for a minute, and we're gonna focus on your writing for the paper. I mean, many people out here are not familiar with writing papers and stuff, as me and you. But could you speak a bit about the process of you writing this paper, and what did you do specifically? Did you visit any different areas from where you live? How did you make the analysis in the first place?
Firstly, talking about writing a research paper, as many people are scared or don't really know how to write a research paper or how to really actually do a research. So it's not always about working on the ground, but you can even do research from the comfort at your home. You can read research paper. You can find out more analysis on internet because in today's world, internet is mostly accessible to everyone. After the pandemic and after the global shift towards internet, it's widely acceptable and widely more implementable. And talking about my research that I have done, I visited some facilities which were 30 kilometers away from my home, where students live, like where mainly deprived people live who were deprived of social status, or you can say social systems, I would prefer to say. There I saw many students struggling with not just education, but struggling with their mental health crisis, struggling with their own families. And also, not everyone was getting education, but I also saw many students gathering together for getting education while just under a tube light or just under a bulb for maybe around 50 people, I would say. So there was power outages, no internet connection, devices were very limited, and I would say the devices which were with them, those weren't even accessible for taking online classes or stuffs, which was another quite gap, I would say, because people use phones, but they didn't use smartphones. That's why people were deprived of internet. People were deprived of free resources like YouTube or Khan Academy, I would say. And that was basically it. I did the research and I saw students, and I also read many research paper online published by WHO, published by United Nations organizations,
Very,
which
very interesting. That's very interesting. And also, I want to note out that depending on the topic, the research process differs from one topic to another. So this topic is more about talking to the people, like reading articles that are already available online, based on statistics and stuff. So no trials, no kind of thing. But maybe a scientific research would require doing trials and contacting experts from the university and so on and so on. It's not about attitude of the people and stuff. I can tell that your paper was more diversified and not just only focusing on one aspect, but multiple aspects. Right, that's something you have clarified already. And regarding that, now let's move on to something else. And like one of the aspects you've spoken about in the paper itself, which had to do with the diff you said the gap or bridging the gap between the two sides. Could you clarify more on that one?
Talking about the bridging the gap that I was talking of, which was mainly East and West education gap, talking about West countries or talking about countries like Americas or the Europe's, they adapted quickly to this pandemic era as they were having more emergency ready education policy. They adapted quickly, they rapidly transitioned to hybrid models with government-backed tools. But if we are talking about Eastern countries or many Eastern countries like Southeast Asian countries or India in specific, they were having many obstacles between them, which were holding these countries back from what they can actually do, because there were no infrastructure, such infrastructure for digital online classes that we can shift instantly to digital digitalization. We were also having many policy delays and socioeconomic disparity, which was also a main cause, because if we shifted to online classes too, there were many and many, I would say millions of students who weren't even able to access those resources, which if we provided them.
So the barriers we are speaking about here are not just related to the people themselves, but also the whole infrastructure of the country. Okay, Jayant, many people consider coronavirus or the pandemic that happened in 2020 as a wake-up call to many countries around the world to finally start working on those things. Does that also apply on India?
That applies on India too. As talking about India right now and talking about India, which was in pandemic, it has rapidly changed. It has rapidly increased, it has rapidly done digitalization all over India, rapidly distribute and devices to underprivileged section of India, which were underprivileged students in government school, which made them easier to connect to teachers online, get those free resources and get those government resources which they were providing. India rapidly provided internet access to many people. India rapidly made infrastructure for digitalization, and India also rapidly made power grids more powerful, so that almost every people in India has access to light, access to that care which they need.
All right, now many changes happened over the best 5 years, and in a previous episode with someone with a different guest, we have discussed the possibilities for the future and how we could. I asked the question: could like AI, with the rise of AI, as you know, could that like possibly replace teachers and replace attending schools and stuff like that? The guest rather denied it, but I want to also hear your opinion. Like, digitalization definitely is happening. Many changes happened over the past 5 years, but do you think more is going to happen in the future to the point where we're going to have to like rely on it completely?
So there are actually, according to me, talking about me myself and the world that I'm seeing from my eyes or from my perspective, if you talk, I see the world in two different areas. Firstly, the world is saying that AI can replace teachers, AI can replace jobs. But according to me, AI could replace jobs, but at a point where saturation happens, AI cannot further penetrate into everything. Because if we are talking about humans, we are going to school because we want to socialize with other people in school. We want to get that sort of social education, not just rote learning from textbooks, not just learning stuff that is already available on internet, but we want to connect with other people. We want to build a community which is more responsible, which is more towards their center, towards their goal, and which is more mindly developed. But if we are talking about AI could replace teachers, AI could replace teachers in some way or another, but not completely, because AI could replace what the courses are offered, AI could replace what the teachers are teaching. But according to India's national education policy, which was implemented in 2020, it mentioned the role of teachers as not just education providers, but facilitators to students who are facilitating their education, not just by teaching them stuff, but being as a friend to them, being as a person whom they can rely on, being as a support system to them.
All right, since you have brought this up, now let's talk about a bit about the impact. We all know that, as you mentioned, socializing and stuff, we go to school for socializing. As we know, this has a great impact on one's personality, where you can develop your own, where you can develop your skills, which is probably going to help you in the future, in some jobs, in your work, and even like living inside a community. You cannot live being isolated from everyone else. And that's, as we know, is a skill that's essential for anyone who's looking forward to grow, looking forward to be somebody, you know. Isolation does not work most of the times. And as I said, many people even nowadays rely on AI for education. Like they bring the PDF of the books and then of their book and just insert into an AI, and the AI is going to generate a video with like the audio, everything. It is possible nowadays, but you're lacking something. There's something lacking always. Have you tried any of those tools yet, Jayan?
I have tried a couple of those tools, and the thing that, as you mentioned, there is something that is lacking behind them, and I truly agree to you because AI could somewhere tell you everything and anything in the world, but AI couldn't help you understand or couldn't, know what is running inside your brain or can teach you the way you need. But a physical teacher, a physical person could know what is going on in your brain because they are same as whom you are. They were also in this era in which you are currently studying because they were also once a student. They also know what problems you are facing, but AI couldn't know them. AI just tells you what to learn, but teachers tells you how to learn it.
Okay, now, Diane, let's go back to the topic where we spoke about the barriers and the difficulties people are facing. Do you think they have an impact? Or, like, over the past 5 years, as you said, the West had the infrastructure already for digitalization, but India, for example, did not have that 5 years ago. Do you think we are losing the race just because we weren't prepared? Do you think, like, there's that huge impact that we were unable to catch up with the West?
So at the starting, I would say it made really a huge impact because millions of students were affected due to this. Millions of students were living in low-income India, which was actually not even accessible for clean drinking water or not even accessible for lights that we have in our houses 24/7. They were living in an India which was not really deprived from what we see today. But in today's time, India has shown many growth factors, and India have grown really into that country where education is strong. You are getting primary education for free from government school, and India is all now India is also focusing on education.
Yeah, God bless. I mean, it's better to start late than to never start, as someone has said. So yeah, we are on the right track, I could say. Okay, Jayan. Now let's talk about the second part of this episode, where the topic also mentioned the youth-led action, its role, and how we contribute to it. A part of your paper's titles mentioned something about the youth initiatives and the role that we make as people. Now, I am in a position where I make a difference, and I think you are as well. Could you speak about that?
So talking about youth-led initiatives that are making differences. First one is this society that we have built online, the Teen Debaters, as you are a part of this community and I am also a part of this community where we are debating online. We are connecting with many people online and getting to know more about what is happening in their life and what is happening in my life. And talking about my initiative, Project Manas Mitra, where I helped organize webinars focused on mental health and academic well-being. We use free tools like social media and to make content more accessible to everyone globally, not just in India. Students could ask us question anonymously and they can seek peer-to-peer guidance or they can seek they even nowadays feel seen by this project that I've launched. And other youth-led efforts, like I have seen the Teen Debaters, many other debating societies, many other NGOs working on this as well. I have seen they are providing free tutoring platforms or translating study materials into regional languages in India, as we are having many regional language in India. So it is more accessible to almost every student in India to read in their own regional language, which is not making them deprived from primary education, but making them more educated in a sense. And
Definitely.
also accordingly with my initiative, and I've seen many other school clubs focusing on mental health, teenager mental health especially, talking about anxiety, depression, and exam stress that teenagers have nowadays, focusing it on it and many other initiatives.
That's very interesting. No one can deny that these initiatives, or youth-led organizations, for example, have a great impact, or how important they are. Nobody can deny that. And I even personally, like, I've been a part of this community, and I've been in the management for like a while now, and I have seen the impact I had on some specific students. Like, I could tell you, some people started like never knew nothing about debating like a year ago or more, and nowadays they are like one of the best debaters I have seen, and they have even like they were nothing just a year ago, and now look at that. I feel like I have contributed. This makes me feel great, and I'm pretty sure you probably contributed something similar like that, and we can see the impact. The way we are seeing it, nobody out there can deny it, and even those people out themselves, me as well. Like maybe 4 years ago, someone was there to teach me at first. Someone in an organization that was not getting paid enough still taught me, and now I'm being grateful for it, and now I'm contributing, and the cycle goes on and goes on. So maybe say, I mean, there are some steps some people need to take before they, I mean, have like. Or get into this role where they make a difference, where they contribute to this, especially people our age. What were your first steps, and what would you suggest?
So, talking about people who are coming into the space, who are venturing into this space where they are helping other people out with their own stuff. So, my advices to those people, according to me, would be firstly, I would say, please be down to earth, because it is a thing that you should have, and it is a thing that is going to teach you many things that not even your school or not even any person had ever taught you. It is gonna teach you many things, like how you can be a successful leader, how you can lead this organization without being frustrated or without, you know, being that bossy kind of thing. And you can be a part of this community, which is thriving in today's world.
Definitely, like we always focus on this, especially when we're like trying to like hire new people in the community. We had a few people like a few months ago, and I always focus on this point with passion. Do you have passion for this thing that we do? I do definitely have the passion. I've had it for years, and I will always be into this. Even if I take a different direction, as you said, maybe you have an interest in like becoming a doctor or a neurosurgeon or whatever. You have a passion for something. There's a difference. You need to know the difference between the career that you're going for and the passion. I have the passion for this thing. Yes, I might take a different direction, but still. And this right here grants me the will to continue in this path where I help people, even though it's voluntary.
So passion is also another thing that each and every students should have if they are venturing into this community, because passion is a thing. Talking about my passion, I'm having passion towards academic excellence that I can or mental health advocacy that I focuses on, or even talking about equitable education access that I'm currently focusing through my research paper. I'm having passion towards this, and I know even if I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to start let's say a school or a community where I could make a difference by educating deprived students, or educating those students who are having that will, who are having that courage, but they are deprived due to some financial background or some emotional background, I would say. So passion is also another thing, courage is also another thing, and a will to do this from deep of your heart and deep of your brain should be inside you, so that you can make a great difference in your society.
Definitely. And I was just telling my friend the other day, like, I was like, you never know who you come across. Life is full of surprises, and sometimes you need to go for every chance or every opportunity of socializing with people, even if you don't want to be there. Sometimes, like, I'm being fully honest
You
here.
never know what is going to happen in the future.
Yeah, I'm being fully honest with you here, and you know me from experience. you've been with us in the daily debates and stuff. Sometimes I just don't want to go for the daily debate, and sometimes, but I just force myself to do it. And you never know who to meet. Like sometimes I just meet new people, new students in 8th grade, 9th grade, and I get to see them try for the first time. It makes me feel good. Like I was, and by the end of the daily session, by the end of the session, I get to give them that feedback, as you know, you as usual, and they appreciate it. And the next day, the next person who's hosting the daily debate tells me about this person. And I was like, yeah, yesterday they were with me and they didn't know. How did they improve? And they could tell me more about that. Makes me feel super great. So yeah, there is an impact on the people and on the person volunteering himself as well. So go for any chance and don't ever say that it doesn't have an impact or that I'm not getting paid for it. It's not all about the financial part, but it's more about the skill part, you know, as well. Now, we have spoken about the steps somebody needs to take to contribute, but let's take some examples from your personal experience, Jayant. Like, what other projects have you done or research papers have you done? Could you speak about that?
So currently, as I'm also working on a group project, online research paper, basically on telomere biology,
Yeah, you
as you
told me
also
about that.
know.
I've seen that.
I have, So I am running an initiative called Project Manas Mitra, where we focus about academic stress or the stress that teenagers face or mental awareness, basically, where we conduct expert interviews, where we conduct webinars online, which educate people, which educate students, and which also educate their parents who are either stigmatizing mental health as something that their child doesn't even have, or something that they don't wanna, say yes to, that mental health is also something. So I have also seen many parents whose verdict has changed after our webinars, that mental health is something that is very important to a student, especially in teenage life. And talking about my research paper, we are working on telomere biology, and maybe we never know, we come across a new therapy every day. We come across new research papers that we are reading on to, synthesize our methods, synthesize our results of our research paper. As I've told you, that in scientific researches, we can, read other research papers, and without working on the ground, we can do it even online by digital PCR or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, let's drift away from the main topic, but speak about this thing that has to do with telomeres and stuff. I also studied biology in school, and I know about, I think about that. So when I was reading the file that you sent me like a while ago, it was very interesting, and I could tell, like, I could recognize some things. Even though I'm in the future not planning to take that direction, but educating yourself about different topics and reading research papers and different topics can really like boost your general knowledge and probably could help you understand people at the same time. So when you're speaking about something right now, I do definitely know what you're talking about. Like I'm not necessarily interested in it, but I definitely know. So that's also another benefit to like educate yourself in different fields and whatsoever.
Also sharing about my experience, I thought that history is something that I was not gonna take it, or something that I was not interested, but I studied history in the freshman and sophomore year of my high school, which is 9th and 10th grade, and currently I have debated on history topic, mainly French Revolution, and I thought that it actually helped me to get a command over that topic. Like studying history, even if I don't like it, got me command over something that I don't know when our paths are gonna cross in future, like it did recently in a debate. So
Yeah,
you
like I've
never know
seen.
where the paths are gonna cross again, or where your destiny may leave you
Exactly.
to that topic that you think is not that you are going to pursue, right?
Yeah, exactly. You never know. So you need to just boost your general knowledge overall, and you never know when it's going to help you. Also, you might just sit next to a person somewhere in the train or something and have that conversation with them. It's very good. Like, it leaves a good impression on the people and on yourself as well. One last thing we want to speak about, Jayant, is the mentorship. You know, to start anywhere, you always need a mentor ahead of you, someone who supports you all the time, someone who, like, you know, stands with you no matter what, somebody who offers the guidance. Who's that person to you, Jaya?
So talking about my mentor, I'm having mentors at my school, I'm having mentors online, but talking about my personal mentor, I would say those are my father and mother, my parents especially, because they were the first mentors who taught me everything from how to walk to till date what is telomere in biology. So they are helping me from the start of my birth until here, and I think forever they are gonna help me. I would say I would like to say thanks to all of my teachers at my school, all of my mentors who helped online. But a space that in my heart is occupied by my parents, because they were the one and they are the one who are helping me successfully without any grievances or any kind of thing in their mind. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Parents are also like, to me, like they've been a huge part of my own journey, guiding me, even though they are not currently in the same field I am. But as I grow older, I always find the similarities between me and them, especially my father. Like I get to see the difference as I grow up, the difference and also the similarities. But there's always going to be some sort of similarity, and I can tell they are with you in the room right now, both of you, definitely. You also spoke about some mentors like online that you have. Could I possibly be one of those people?
Yeah, you are. So I would say I am a student who is learning every day, learning new stuff every day, and I learned many things from you, from your feedback that you gave on my debate, and many things like many competition that we had on Teen Debaters, like moot court, turn court debate, and those of stuff. I learned very many things. As I was thinking I'm great at debating, but when I get to know more about this debating field, I felt like I need to learn more. I am a curious type of person who is like, if I don't know about this thing, I'm gonna dig a huge hole until I get to master this thing. So I would say you helped a lot in that journey by
Thank you.
providing insightful feedbacks to me on my debates, how I could improve that, and what mistake that I made in my debate, which also helped me improve in today's day.
Yeah, definitely. And I could also like notice the difference over the like the months that we have been with us. You've been with us for a couple of months, and I could notice the difference. And
Yeah.
also, like I said, if you ever, I'm not just in debating, like we also had some personal contacts, and I could also see that you are interested in different fields. And I also offered the help no matter what. It could
Yeah.
be writing or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So thanks to you, and I definitely appreciate that. All right, in these last few
Thanks to you
minutes,
too.
thanks to you, sir. So in this last 1 minute, what advice could you give to people regarding the main topic we are discussing here today? People who are facing difficulties and people who are like aspiring to do more, but are like incapable of doing that. What is one last advice?
Yeah, so my advice that I would like to give to students especially would be, just because you have access doesn't mean you can't help others gain it. And just because if you don't have access of something now doesn't mean you won't succeed.
Yeah, and I can tell
And
many people.
briefing on this advice, I would say the advice that I gave was, if you are having access, that doesn't mean that you cannot give this access to others or you cannot help others. And if you aren't having access, don't just cry over that, I am not having this thing, I couldn't succeed in this. No, we are having many students who have succeeded in many fields who were from humble backgrounds. We can see it in India and worldwide also. We have seen many students, many I would say researchers and many scientists who were from humble background, who don't even had access of light, or who don't even had access of books, but they made a huge difference to world. So yeah, you can make a difference, and you are here to make a difference.
Definitely. Thank you very much. That was a very interesting discussion we had, and a very interesting topic, and an even more interesting guest. I could say thank you, Jayan, and we are looking forward to have another discussion with you, hopefully in the future. And we are again thankful and grateful for you being a part of this community after all. Thank you very much.
I would also like to thank you, and thank the founder Shivansh Gupta, who actually made this community and made this community online where we are connecting with each other. We are getting feedbacks. We are getting to know new things each and every day, which we didn't even thought about it. So thank to you, Nasser, for inviting me on this day, I would say podcast session. And thanks to the founder too. And thanks to each and every judge who are behind the scene, helping many of students on this journey of the
All right,
individual.
everyone. That's the end of our today's episode. Make sure to follow our social media accounts on Instagram, also LinkedIn. We also have an account on LinkedIn now. YouTube, watch our sessions and WhatsApp groups and Discord as well. Thank you and all the rest.